Check. Hey, check.
Hey guys, this is Rachel Leith, the program director here at Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can tune in to KGVM Bozeman 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Well, unless it's a leap year. Then you can tune in
366 days a year.
Rain or shine, Christmas or the 4th of July, we're here for you, our loyal listener. After all, we're your community radio station. We literally can't exist without you. As I'm sure you already know, we can be found at 95.9 on the radio dial or streaming on the web at kgvm.org. Also, if you're feeling especially adventurous, you can check out a decade of audio archives on our website, kgvm.org. You're bound to find something awesome. But for now, sit back, tune in, and relax. I'd like to tell you about an adventure the executive producer and music director extraordinaire Brandon Clements and I embarked on in one of the last weekends in March of this year. Leaving Bozeman at 7 p.m., driving through the night, dodging snowstorms the whole way, I arrived at Treefort Music Festival in Boise, Idaho, in the wee hours of the morning on Wednesday, March 20th. Brandon and I made the 8-hour journey from Bozeman to Boise, not for the chili relleno burritos, of which Idaho has in glorious abundance, but rather for the 8th ever Treefort Music Festival. Treefort is a 5-day musical extravaganza that takes place each year in the middle of downtown Boise. The festival commandeers coffee shops, bars, even community radio stations to use as venues and event spaces. The vast majority of performers who play at Treefort are emerging artists from the DIY music scene. If you've ever tuned in to the Lotus Eaters show on Monday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m., you're probably already familiar with the term DIY music. But if you aren't, don't worry, I got you. The DIY music scene refers to a community of folks who embody a do-it-yourself mentality, but with music. They focus on fostering a safe space where artists feel comfortable expressing themselves. Many, although not all, are unsigned bands who do things like record and distribute their own music, start their own record labels, or use guerrilla marketing techniques to promote their shows. Overwhelmingly, though, you simply find a group of people who are dedicated to improving the music scene in their town. From the start, Treefort has made it part of their ethos to support bands from DIY scenes from around the Northwest. From the event's not-so-humble beginnings in 2012, when they hosted 137 bands, they've now expanded to more than 450. And they haven't stopped at music. Now in their 8th year, the crew behind Treefort has created an entire microcosm. Quick side note, all the different activities / offshoots under the Treefort umbrella are likewise given a name that ends in fort. This microcosm is complete with an ale fort for beer lovers, yoga fort, which offers a daily buffet of yoga classes, story fort for storytellers of all kinds, from poets to podcasters, hack fort for, quote, having a good time engaging in all things tech, end quote, film fort to feature independent and emerging filmmakers, comedy fort for a couple laughs, kid fort obviously for the kids, and food fort for the foodies. They've also expanded in terms of the geographic area where they're inviting musicians to play from. 2019 was a record year for the number of Montana bands invited to perform at Treefort. 4 Montana bands were invited to play this year, 1 from Missoula and 3 from Bozeman. Brandon and I went to Treefort to try and track down these Montana bands, crack them open, and see how they tick. We also did live recordings of all their sets, so you can get a little taste of the show. So let's dive right in. Thursday morning, I found myself kicking it with King Ropes, a Bozeman-based band made up of frontman Dave Hollier, Ben Roth, Jeff Jensen, and new addition, Bozeman music legend Keith Martinez. The genesis of King Ropes all started with Dave. The musical project followed him all over the country, from Brooklyn to LA, and finally back to his home state of Montana. The name comes from a saddlery and rope store out of Sheridan, Wyoming. I sat down with King Ropes before their set to talk about the art of trucking, artificial intelligence, questioning your sanity, and gender in the Bozeman music scene. One last quick side note. We had a microphone malfunction during the live recording of their set later that evening, so all the music you're hearing was pulled from a video I took on a DSLR camera. I'm sorry the quality isn't great, but I included it because I think you can still get a feel for the show. International shortwave flashing neon green and blue. Signs says truckers always welcome bikers too. Cowboy church on Wednesdays in the church behind the bar. A cup of coffee and salvation's not so far.
It's been kind of an evolution in terms of.
Here's Dave Hollier.
The lineup is kind of always evolving. I'm happy when it kind of settles down for a while.
It seems very fluid.
It's kind of fluid, yeah.
This is literally my first gig with them.
This is Keith Martinez.
Really?
Yeah, tonight.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. I really shouldn't even be in the interview because
no, you should.
I'm a substitute.
Well,
I'm an understudy.
We all are.
Yes.
We're all substitutes.
Yes. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen you probably three or four times.
And it's never been the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're happy to have Keith have joined the consortium that's known as King Ropes.
Is it hard to find musicians in Bozeman because it's such a small community and an even smaller musical community compared to somewhere like L.A. or Brooklyn?
Yes and no. I've been really... So I grew up in Bozeman and lived in Brooklyn, lived in L.A., but I'm back in Bozeman now. And in some ways, it's really great and refreshing being a musician in Bozeman. And I feel in some ways I'm offering stuff that not that many bands in Bozeman can offer in terms of touring a lot and making we're recording records.
I think there's a lot
of
musicians in Bozeman, but a lot of them are very busy.
Yeah,
you know? So again, it kind of helps to have a pool of people.
Yeah.
Just
and that's the case everywhere. Like I met a ton. I was only in LA about a year and a half, and I met a ton of musicians who were awesome players and really fun to play with. It was really hard to get them to, like, okay, we got a gig in 6 weeks, and are you going to be able to practice once before that? And, like, I would really, like, I'd get players who could be like, I can do the gig, but I'm not going to be able to practice. You know? And they'd show up, and they'd do pretty well under the circumstances. It was amazing, but
yeah. It's
a different thing. It's just a different vibe. If they've like listened to the recordings, they come in and they like play it and then they pack up and off they go.
Yeah, not ideal.
Yeah, not really what I'm looking for.
We pulled it out of Livingston, trying to beat the weather. The wind it down there blew us off the road. Paradise.
Breaking Ropes is different than other bands? What sets you guys apart?
I mean, I'd like to think that the music we're playing is a little hard to characterize or pigeonhole or define, you know?
Yeah, and I think what, like, Ben touched
right on here,
earlier.
This is Jeff Jensen.
Like, Dave has got a lot of life experience and lived a lot of different crazy places, and so a lot of these songs are from, like, a, you know, longer crazy life than, like, a younger band or something, or the songwriter of the band might have access to that amount of memories or feelings or things like that, I guess.
Or you know? musical references, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
That was actually one of my next questions, is that it's kind of unusual to have a band with such a generational gap. How do you guys think that affects your music?
I'm 70 years old.
And the quiet guy right now?
He looks good.
That's Ben.
Yeah.
This is Ben.
Really good.
Just a little bit of Vitamin Church.
I think it's good because it's a wide range. Like, Dave's range. Had... Like, I've looked through Dave's records, and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. And so he probably draws from those.
You and Kate, like, going off. And, yeah. Like, you guys, yeah. Like, I have, you're like, oh, this song. I'm like, I don't know what the hell is this talking about.
Exposure goes.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like we all like
we
the one music or whatever.
Blind spots, perhaps.
Yeah.
Musically, everybody wants to know. You know? Mm. We just can't tell them.
I'd mostly just listen to nature sounds.
You can hear a lot of different influences in the sound of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are there any bands that you guys are listening to, like, while you're on the road frequently that come up or anything like that?
I mean, we listen to so much different stuff. I mean, I think any one of us listens to a ton of different stuff, and then between all of us, it's like a huge variety of, like I don't know.
We were hitting up the trucker songs on the way down.
Yeah.
About trucking.
Songs about trucking.
Yeah, we got all the trucker lingo down.
By truckers, for truckers.
Yeah. Born free, trucker by choice.
If you have it,
a trucker brought it.
Yeah. That's what people don't realize. It's
AKA
like,
without truckers, bands wouldn't even be possible because they're shipping guitars in the trucks. So
we're just trying to
enjoy the last, you know, little bit of actual trucker, you know, as an actual reality before it becomes all artificial intelligence and automated. So.
Yeah,
we're really just trying to enjoy that last piece of Americana.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to, like, you know. Tell the trucker to pull the horn.
Yeah, like kids won't even know what that is. They'll just be like, he must be saying yes. But it's
unless,
like, no.
Unless they program that into the AI. Like,
oh, yeah.
Maybe that'll be like the little Easter egg that they like can you can still it. Do this and it'll still honk. Even though it won't matter to all the other AI trucks and cars out there because they don't need horns. They sense each other.
I'm going to go ahead and say trucking music is my biggest influence at this moment. Truck today. Yeah.
Aside from trucking, where do you guys get your song ideas?
I get a lot of ideas from... I mean, me. I get a lot of... I get sparked by a lot of things. I just hear somebody say something, and like just a line, sentence.
Do you have an example of a song?
Sure. There's a... I have a daughter who's three, and a couple, I don't know, when she was just kind of learning how to talk, any tiny little thing, like a raspberry seed or anything, was a bee to her. It was a bee, and she hated having seeds in her mouth. So she'd say, you know, she'd eat a raspberry, and she'd say, ah, there's a bee in my mouth. There's a bee in my mouth. So there's a song now called
The Bees.
A Mouthful of Bees that that's came adorable. From that.
Giacomo's was from something, right?
Yeah, Giacomo's is a string.
Was from another, my older daughter. We lived in Italy, and we lived in a tiny little town out in the country, and there was a special needs kid who had an assistant who would be in the classroom with them. That was Giacomo's assistant. So Lucy would come home from school and talking about Giacomo's assistant was telling us, blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah. Oh, Giacomo's assistant, that sounds
memorable. Yeah, you just like memorable. The way that those words
yeah,
sound
totally.
Together
There's
sometimes.
Just something
it's that
about
simple.
That,
and then
yeah,
you kind
so.
Of, you know, base a concept around, or just, I do the same thing. Like, I'll just hear someone say a phrase, and I'm like, oh, that's good.
Exactly.
That's good. I have to remember that.
So what is the songwriting process like for you guys? Do you, like, write the lyrics to it and then produce the music, or do you find a riff that you really like and then build off of that?
I think all these songs I've written with help from these guys, but it starts with me writing a song, which can start with a lyric, can start with a riff. There's not really a... one way that it happens. I'll bring in a rough idea to kind of bounce some stuff off the guys and start to see how it feels or starts to sound with a band.
And just having like more people around to sort of believe in the song. Like when we started Mouthful of Bees, every one of us was just like, is this even gonna work? Like, what is this? Like,
not even a song.
Remember in the beginning it was like, this has no structure. Like, what's happening here? But we just kept like pounding our head
again.
Against the
like,
wall.
What if
and now it's part, like one of the favorite songs of mine anyway. Yeah.
How long does it take to make a song, usually from the idea to the completed?
Holy crap. I mean, often it's years. Like, can easily be 3 years. Not always, but California Stars was, I think it was when we were driving up here, moving up here, some of those lyrics were just sort of like rolling through my head as we were driving up kind of through this part of the country, up through Idaho and into Montana, and I was just sort of like reeling off some of the like, you know, it was just that really great feeling of being back. This is where I grew up, and then like being back in this landscape and reading the road signs and crossing the creeks and just the names of the places here are different from other places and have that kind of resonance with me from growing up here. And I don't know, these just sort of stories about the people living here sort of rolling around in my head, you know, when you're driving for 8 hours in the car by yourself, like, you know, your mind can wander. And that was the impetus for a lot of the lyrics on that song, and the melody and stuff has completely changed. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking back then, but some of the lyrics definitely came from that. I don't know, I really hang on to stuff. I like, if I have a little germ of an idea, I save it, even if I'll recycle stuff all the time. If something isn't working, I don't have any interest in like having to finish the song and say like, well, it's not that good, but I'm done with it anyway. And so I'll just shelve it I keep lists in my phone and like notes, you know, of lyrics, so I don't completely forget stuff. And when I get stuck, I can go back through all that other crap and be like, I don't know, maybe there's something in there that I can use in this spot. And I do that a lot. A new song that then has this thing from 5 years ago that is like,
You have
one more verse.
You have a bunch of different bits and pieces of, you know, melodies or lyrics or, you know, riffs or whatever that you can sort of mix and match. Like sometimes, you know, the song, you just write it all at once, and sometimes, you know, there's really never a
There's not a rule. For me, there's no rule, set rule of, like, this is how I write a song.
Like, everything you just described is pretty much, like, how I do it.
Makes sense to you, too. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you try to force it and be like, I have to write it this way, or, like, you have to, when you try to sit down, be like, I'm going to write a song, that, like, never works.
Right.
Or sometimes it does, but...
Sometimes it might...
But you never. But you can't. It's not done all the time.
Open to all the different ways. Yeah. Or whatever.
I do think I feel like though for me it's important to try all the time. Mm-hmm. Not like I set aside an hour every day or anything to work on songwriting, but I do try to do it, make it a really regular part of my life. To be working on songwriting, and I'm not super goal oriented in terms of that, but I feel like if I do that, then I'm there, and my mind's paying attention and engaged, so that when I do have a good idea, I notice it, and I make note of it and pay attention, and I'm less likely to just forget it.
It's kind of like any other skill, too, as long as it's like use it or lose it.
Yeah,
even if you're not really getting anything out of it.
Exactly.
But, you know, you might actually... That's the good thing of having that sort of, backlog of bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Is when you maybe have a session and you feel like it didn't go really well, but then you kind of set it aside and then it becomes something, like, down the road.
Yeah.
Then it makes you feel like you didn't waste your time.
Totally, yeah.
So would you guys say it's more often that the song just, like, comes to you fully formed, or is it something you have to work at?
Hardly ever comes fully formed.
Unless you're really lucky.
Yeah. I mean, that happens once in a while.
What does it feel like when that happens?
You're like, whoa, I need to take a break. Where did that come from?
Yeah,
it feels well on my head.
Yeah. It feels weird.
I was already questioning my life choices at that point while I was writing that song, so maybe that's why.
That's what made it.
That's
such a great song, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like really when I get like a couple lines and a guitar part that I really like forget a whole song.
Yeah,
you know.
Being in a band? Or is it pretty easy most of the time? Because there's a lot of back work that goes into it, like the promotion and the booking of the shows.
It's a ton of work. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a job for me. It's a job I care about, but it's not all fun and games.
So why do you guys do it then?
Because I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I really care about it.
It's fun. It's like the funnest job you could ever have, pretty much. What? People like have the illusion that you're cool. Plus, you get to travel around. What else? Get beer and food. You get to wear cool clothes.
You get to wear whatever you want.
No money, but...
No money. But maybe Previas.
Maybe someday.
Sometimes we tell you, no, Jeff, you can't wear that.
Yeah, sometimes. But, but that's rare.
Rarely.
Pushed it too far this time.
It's more like telling him to put clothes back on.
Yeah.
So how do you guys balance all that behind-the-scenes stuff with making music and practicing?
I don't know. I mean, for me, playing music, like getting to play with these guys, always makes any other crap worth it. Like, whenever, like, I was definitely the last few weeks kind of like questioning my sanity and like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? It was so hard to get this particular little tour to come together. A lot of things up in the air all at the same time, and like not knowing, like, I don't know how this is gonna work. I gotta just trust that it's gonna work. But then, you know, Ben flew in from Seattle, and we'd start playing it. We finally got to get a few practices under our belt with Keith, and you know, like all that stress just went away for me. Like, it's like, okay, that's the answer of this is why I put up with all this crap, because it's the biggest payback I can possibly imagine, getting to play the music. So, and we're, you know, we just are finishing up a record that went really well, and I'm really happy about. And we're going to be in Tacoma and record a little bit more. We're already talking about another record. And yeah, bring it on. I don't care how much crap I have to put up with in order to make this happen. It's worth it. So, I don't know if there's any balance there at all, but it's like it's like you're drowning and then you get a breath of fresh air and then you catch the wave, like a hook or whatever, and then you get held under again, like
Hey guys, just wanted to remind you that you're listening to a recap of Treefort Music Festival on KGVM Bozeman 95.9. Right now we have a recording of Bozeman band King Ropes playing at the festival.
Now she's resting her demon. Yeah, a tough little fucker. She gets them to settle down. Then at night, their hands burst right into flame.
Like, there are a lot more Montana bands this year, but there's also a lot of, like, the vast majority are from Bozeman. So what do you think it is about this year and the music industry in Bozeman that makes it so appealing to people in Boise?
Well, it seems to be
how many
bands that work really hard,
yeah,
and that like do touring,
right,
yeah, a lot of promoting, a lot, sure, of reaching out to other, you know,
I mean,
scenes, and that are really involved in the Bozeman scene as well,
right? Know? So definitely, King Ropes and Panther Car are,
yeah,
touring a lot, connecting with other bands that are coming through Bozeman.
Like we were saying earlier, like the Lotus Eaters guys kind of make it seem, it's like really important, you know, like, and they make it nice to be able to play music in Bozeman, and like it makes you kind of believe in the scene, you know, it's, yeah, totally like, this is awesome, these guys rule, they put on all these shows, and
right,
and I think, and that's cool because you work harder so you can like be part of a cool scene.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know the Charcoal Squids guys are similar in terms of that, like, you know,
yeah, they're really active.
Joshua has a record label, mm-hmm, and you know, they're touring a lot, they put on a little festival or two in Missoula every year, and so I'm sure they're, that helps them sort of be on the radar when they're applying down here.
So I grew up in Great Falls, and my perspective, it always seemed like Missoula had a lot bigger music scene and a lot more thriving music scene, but in recent years I've seen it kind of shift, so that it's almost like,
yeah, that's what it seems like
music scene now.
Yeah,
is that something you guys have seen too?
I think so.
It's totally unscientific, but it seems that way to me, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't live in Bozeman for, I mean, I didn't live in Montana for years and years and years, so.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of venues opening in Bozeman where there's a lot of venues closing in Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Missoula's always had a great DIY and underground music scene, and they have a long pedigree of amazing bands and musicians coming from there. Like, any scene kind of has its lulls, you know.
Totally.
There's times when it's, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you should have been here 2 years ago, you know, or you can just kind of tell when it kind of catches a wave.
Yeah.
And I guess Bozeman is just kind of having a wave right now.
What does it feel like to be kind of on the crest of that wave?
Really good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so cool though, right? It's like, yeah, man, it's, yeah, kind of like blossoming into, yeah, this beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, for Bozeman, you know, it's like, for me, it helps me to sort of connect to the town itself, because I don't really feel like I have a lot in common with like the average Bozeman resident these days, but in the music world and like people doing creative stuff, like there's still people that I connect to and, you know, want to be around. So I like,
yeah,
that.
There are a lot of people in Bozeman who feel like there's no music scene in Bozeman, which is not the truth.
No, there's an insane number of bands for as big as the place is.
I'm happy to see the kind of like various how it's kind of stratified. Like there's the new fancy big places opening up, and there's Lotus Eaters, and there's the Hofbräu, and the Filler. Like there's all these different avenues for people to play and listen to music.
I feel like the undergroundish realm of it, like everyone's got each other's back, you know. It's, mm-hmm, like there's no one really that's like,
totally,
talking shit for the most part. It's kind of like everyone's in this together, man. Like, let's try to grow the scene and like make it cool and like.
But in Montana in general, it's like you're so isolated from everywhere, and there's not a lot of like national bands coming through, so you kind of just have to entertain each other.
One thing I've noticed is that the scene is growing so much, but at the same time, it's so heavily male-dominated. Like, there's almost no female bands in Bozeman. So, and you guys are obviously an all-male band. Is there any reason for that? Do you think there just aren't that many female artists? Or do you think it's just, like, it's intimidating for female artists to get started in Bozeman?
Hmm.
Do you have any insight?
I don't know.
I would say that girls are less likely to be like, hey, we play music, let's jam. I mean, like, Bozeman's known ratio is pretty much 4-1. So anywhere you go, bar-wise or music-wise, the majority of the listeners are men. And from my experience, it's like a male band that's seeking out female vocalists or whatever, and then that's when the women get integrated.
It's also a lot more bluegrass too. But as far as like the rock and roll scene,
yeah, goes, it's like, no. I don't know. Yeah. I just think, I don't know. Just ladies aren't. I don't know. I mean, like, I barely play an instrument, so I feel like maybe that's just a thing.
I think in general, it seems like there will be a band with a female member in it more often than, you know, a primarily or fully female band. And yeah. I think it's mainly just, like the ratio of men to women, mainly.
Rocker chicks unite. Start a band. Jane Herzog. Talking to you, Jane.
Oh, okay. So the last question,
a rock band.
Yeah.
The last question I had was just like, what are some of your guys' goals for the future going forth? Do you have any?
Just play music as rock much as possible.
Rock and roll?
Yeah. I mean, for me... Yeah, to keep making better records and writing better songs and playing better live and doing it more and getting in front of more people.
Cool. Anything else you guys wanted to mention that I missed?
How's it feel, Ben, being lumped in with all these Montana boys?
I feel like a real city slicker.
Well, you look good, though.
It's radio.
I wish you could see how good Ben looks right now.
Really slick.
Super slick.
Really slick.
Cool. Well, thanks for...
These guys sleep with their eyes open so they can watch the cattle at night.
There's lots of reasons to sleep with your eyes open.
Especially in Bozeman.
Yeah.
Ratio of 4-1.
Yeah. All right,
everybody.
Man 10.
Lock your doors.
I heard you call. Thank you.
Next up is an interview that Brandon and I did with some good friends of ours, a well-known band in the Montana DIY scene, Panther Car. Panther Car is a progressive pop rock band that formed in 2011 with original members Scott Morenz and Connor Smith. Drummer Chris Kirkwood joined in 2012, followed by bassist Andrew Cornell in 2014. Brandon conducted this interview under the guise of his alter ego, Brandy.
See you there. I'm Brandy Malone here in Boise, Idaho, and with me I've got Panther Car from Bozeman, Montana.
Hi, Brandy.
Well, that's great. I'm so glad you guys were able to come out here and join Tree Fort in Boise, Idaho for this music festival. How'd you hear about it?
Yeah,
a while ago. We heard about it through Camp Days.
What can you explain that? What is Camp Days?
It's a Missoula festival that was going on for a few years that was modeled after Tree Fort. And a lot of our friends put it on, and it's kind of the same thing, just smaller.
Just a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
The one in Missoula is smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so you just wanted to come out to like the original version of it? Instead, and
yeah, we heard good things.
Yeah,
it's an awesome festival.
Yeah,
we we've applied a couple times and we made it in this year, and we're stoked to be here and see all the crazy bands. We have a lot of friends here.
So let's just start out. How long have you guys been together, and when did you form?
Us 5 years
with Andy.
This us.
I know Panther Car started before that though. That was Scott and Connor. How did things kind of change? I know, Chris, you joined back in 2012 or so.
Something like that, yeah.
That was like 7 years ago. No, it must have been 2000. Like,
I think you're about right there.
Yeah, the old drummer moved to Austin and I took his place.
Yeah, and all the other guys, how did the band change once Chris joined? Was that like...
Well, I didn't know how to play drums.
So you just had to learn on the fly.
They just made me play drums, and then I learned from them. They taught me.
You knew how to dance, though.
You knew how to dance.
Arguably more important.
Yes.
Okay.
So I just danced.
Just danced on the drum set. Yeah.
Until they were like, now you know.
I don't think I knew that you didn't play drums before.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
We played music together where Chris lived, and yeah, just played drums then. So
yeah, I got on the kit.
Felt like a great fit. Okay. And it has been. Chris definitely has a unique style of drumming, and we love it forever and ever. Amen.
I mean, did like the band dynamics change? Like, did you have to start taking care of like a child sort of?
Yeah. I mean, wipe a lot of noses and butts. But
okay, yeah,
a lot of warm milk.
I mean, you know, it's worth it though if you get somebody that's a good fit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like. Nope, I'm not gonna say that.
No. This is an interview. You have to say everything that comes to your mind immediately.
Oh boy.
It's kind of like washing your face. Like, just feels really good. And then sometimes you realize you didn't do a good enough job. And you didn't use warm water.
Didn't get everything.
But
am I the warm water?
And then
yeah,
you just...
I'm not following this.
I made something up so I didn't have to say the other thing.
It was a good one anyways. Metaphor.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be more to that.
There never is.
Thank you.
Process of making or writing your music? Is there one person that kind of writes it out? Y'all sit down together and decide kind of a direction you want to go? Does somebody just come up with something and y'all start adding on to it? Or
this new album, we did a new thing, like where we kind of come with a part, like someone would come with a part or a couple sections, and then we all sit together and try to write it out together instead of like someone doing a whole song and then us playing along. But I feel like it's always kind of like a collaborative when we write.
Yeah, usually somebody will have an idea that you'll just kind of work on fleshing out, and a structure just evolves from that. But it's different song by song, for sure.
Yeah, I think two songs came from a jam.
Yeah, from a jam.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Butte last summer for a weekend and posted up in the old city hall and did some writing there, and so it's nice that. Like, we were able to just get some stuff out of pure collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we have songs like, was it Behave? Or 16? That you, like, Scott, like, wrote most of the parts. And we were just, like, helped rearrange them. You know, and, like, work on, like, dynamics and stuff. So it's all over. We kind of just let it flow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And I know Andrew's in Butte now. What do you guys, like, Skype your practices now?
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Just play bass over the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I go for once a week, once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of drive time.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
But I get stoked on the drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad drive.
What does that mean?
I listen to music and I'm like, oh, I'm so stoked.
Yeah.
Play music. I just get a lot of ideas that come to me when I'm driving. And then as soon as I get out of the car, they all go away. So maybe I'll just live in a car.
Yeah, we could just start practicing in the van, like have a driver and set up all our gear.
So you guys were working hard. I know you were doing some recording last year, right?
This year.
Oh, it was this year, yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. Was that with this festival in mind? Like, did you have a deadline to like try and get that done so you could get here? Or?
No, it just kind of was the right time to record an album.
We've been working on... We recorded an album last month, and we've been writing it for months. I don't know. Years. Yes, started last year, the process of writing the album, and now it's done. We recorded it, and we're playing it all a treat for it.
Ah. Yeah. What's it called? What's the new album called?
Do we know even yet? I feel like there's a lot kind of up in the air still.
Yeah, we have an idea.
We can't announce that yet.
Yeah.
So right now it's just untitled in brackets.
Right now, yeah, a lot of the new songs still aren't even have finished titles.
No.
Yeah.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Listening to KGVM Bozeman. We're doing a recap of Treefort Music Festival, a 5-day musical extravaganza that takes place each year in downtown Boise, Idaho. You're listening to a live recording from Treefort of Bozeman DIY band Panther Car.
This portion of KGVM is brought to you by Alara Jewelry in downtown Bozeman. Alara is dedicated to offering ethically sourced jewelry made from recycled precious metals and local materials. Awarded second coolest jewelry store in North America by InStore magazine, Alara is open 7 days a week and now offers while-you-wait repairs. Alara's in-house designers and jewelers are ready to assist with outgrown, unworn, mismatched, or broken jewelry. Alara is located kitty corner from the Baxter at 42 West Main Street at Wilson in downtown Bozeman and at alarajewelry.com. Alara Jewelry, locally grown, nationally known.
I just want to just leave this interview and just kind of do one thing. I want you to say one thing you love and one thing you hate about each member of the band. Go.
Oh, God.
I hate how smelly they are, and I love how smelly they are at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I love their smiles. I hate all the body moles that we share.
Moles or molds?
Moles.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I love all of our scooter skills that we're learning in Boise, and I hate that not all of us are learning those scooter skills.
I love everyone's tongues, and I don't really appreciate it when I hear Chris at night making the sound. That's it.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for the interview. We are live in Boise. What's today's date?
It's like
23rd of March, 2019, Treefort.
For a third act, I'd like to present you with an interview we did with Josh Baca of the Missoula psych rock band Charcoal Squids. Baca started the band in 2014 with Riley Roberts on bass and backup vocals and Dan Miller on drums. Unfortunately, the whole trio wasn't able to make it to the interview, but Brandon and I were still happy to talk about the musician's grind with Josh Baca. One quick side note. Brandon and I thought it would be sweet to sneak into the artist lounge and do the interview on the roof, not realizing how terrible the audio quality would be on a rooftop with music playing in the background. So please forgive us for our mistake. Hope you can still enjoy the interview. Josh, so could you tell us a little bit about who you are and who Charcoal Squids is?
Absolutely. So I am I'm Joshua Baca. I play in the band Charcoal Squids. We're playing at Treefort tonight, 10 o'clock at Tom Graney's. And I also run the record label Ghost Carrot Records. So we're just a small record and booking label out of Missoula, Montana.
Awesome. So how did the band start? Like, what was the genesis story?
It kind of started a few years ago. I was in college, and I just kind of started playing music.
Huh?
And it was one of those things that just kind of needed, you know, it just, I was like, oh, if I'm going to start doing this, I should have a name for it. And it just kind of, it happened. And I've played with, like, a few different lineups before for Charcoal Squids.
Mm-hmm.
This current lineup, I think we've been going steady for about 2 years. I, like, booked them a show to play in Moscow, Idaho, and then I, like, just hit it off really well with them. And then I moved to Missoula to work with them.
So, really? That's awesome. Yeah. So that was the only reason you moved to Missoula?
Pretty much. It was that, and just trying to just get out of Moscow, Idaho, since I'd gone to college there.
Totally. Why the name Charcoal Squids?
This is something... a lot of people have asked us, and I've, like, honestly tried to, like, think so hard how or why. But often with a lot of my projects, it's just kind of like, I don't know, I'll just throw a bunch of words together. And if it sounds good and if it's like recognizable, I feel oftentimes people remember it or like some part of it.
Yeah, it sticks out.
And it doesn't sound terrible to the ears, at least not to me. So I was like, we'll just stick with it. And I've never felt the need to change it. And I feel like at this point, it's too late, if I wanted to.
I think that's how Panther Car is, too.
Yeah.
It's just too late to change. Yeah,
but Panther Car, it's like, it's such a great name.
They're good because they're both visual, you know? Like, yeah. You can imagine what it would look like.
Exactly. But sometimes, like, when I try to make art for it, it makes it a little hard because the name is so... Like, people visualize, you know, because it is things that you can visualize. Just learning how to break away from that to, like, make art that isn't just, like I don't know. Yeah, just, like a burnt squid or something like
that. Not a cool
name. And I've never even done something like that. But, like, what even is in a name?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's cool. So do you do all the artwork for Charcoal Squids, too?
Yeah, I do all the visual art for Charcoal Squids. And then I do the majority of the stuff for our record label. Mm-hmm. So I do like little like monsters, kind of like little like a lot of my drawings are just like automatic drawings, just kind of whatever comes out. It's a lot of like line work, and I really like bright, bold colors. Mm-hmm. And really inspired by like just like the surrealist movement, and just kind of like my art flows pretty naturally. Like, I'll do something in like 10 minutes and then I'll move on and do something else. And I really like that about it. And maybe I'm just someone who really likes instant gratification, but it's like, I like working on bigger pieces too. But also there's something about just like finishing something and learning from it. Mm-hmm. Just keep on going. And I do my best to do that. So
cool.
Yeah.
So were you doing art beforehand and they just kind of merged together, or were you inspired to do art because of the music that you're making?
I honestly, like, when I first started doing visual art, it was something to me that kind of happened because I wanted to, like, when I started Ghost Carrot Records as a record label, I was just looking, you know, it's just I want to be able to provide, like, visually a fresh way to present it. And I was like, oh, what better way to do this than if I could just do it myself, so that, you know, I could just be making sure that stuff is getting done when I need it to.
Yeah.
And I also just don't have to pay anybody to do it. And it gives me an outlet to express myself when I'm not, like, just making music. So it's just another, like, thing. And just it kind of grew from there. And now it's at the point where I get commissions to make, like, show flyers in other parts of the country, and I do like design work for just random, like, whoever needs it, and like random t-shirt designs for stuff and random bands and just whatever I can do to like help pay the bills. When it comes to biggest influences, I can, even though they're not here, I feel like I can speak for them. We a lot of our roots kind of are in like stuff like Black Sabbath and like stuff like, yes, a lot of stuff like that, like the classic psych stuff. And like I really love Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix is wonderful. But I don't necessarily listen to that all the time. Like, the last year or two have really been big on, like, just new wave as a genre. I have another project called Tomb Toad. It's really heavily inspired from, like, Tears for Fears and, like, Depeche Mode. And there's this band called Choir Boy. Super awesome. They're out of Salt Lake City. And as for, like, the music that Charcoal Squids make, I used to be super into, like, the OCs, and I still am. We got to open for them, like, 2 times a while ago, and that was a super awesome experience. And, yeah, just a lot of stuff like that, so.
That's awesome. I can definitely hear it in your guys' music, now that you mention all those bands.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and I don't know, like, as I grow and, like, explore other genres of music, too, like, all the music that we have recorded now and that is going to be coming out is pretty representative of what I've been listening to the last 3 years. But in the last little bit, my music taste has changed a lot. But,
Moving to Missoula, or?
Just kind of, like, discovering a few bands that turned me on to other bands that I was like, oh, this is a really cool genre, and I really like these elements of this genre, or what all it brings, and that's really opened up my mind a lot to just other stuff like that. And, like, a lot of the music that I'm working on now is not as, like, it's still kind of, like, psyche stuff, but it's definitely, I feel like I'm just maturing as an artist, and I know what I like, and that's, like, a big thing. But I think, like, the music that I'm really into now is going to be influenced the next albums, like, probably, like, an album or two from now, and cool. Just, like, between all my projects, so.
Busy.
I'm doing my best, so, yeah.
So how do you balance everything? Like, how do you balance having a visual arts company and a record label and a band and creating new music all the time?
Well, it's one of those things. I don't sleep a lot. I do sometimes, like, I generally go to bed at, like, 3 a.m. And if I work at, like, 1, I work, like, 2 days of the week at, like, a coffee shop, and the rest I'm just doing visual art. And because I have that flexibility with my job, I have that, like, guaranteed, like, 2 or 3 shifts, and then I can just fill in the gaps with my visual art. And because I have visual art as a way for me to make money, in this day and age, like, unless you're at the point where, like, your act or your band or whatever is making, like, a ton of money on the road, or, like, you are a very successful act, as, like, an artist in general, you have to have a diverse income so that you're not relying on one thing too much. Or at least that's what I'm doing. Like, I have, like, 3 or 4 ways that I'm making, like, a little bit of money here and there, and all together it, like, makes it work. And if you can do that, then it's really cool, because you don't ever get bored, and you just learn to be creative and learn to just make it work. And that's ultimately, like, just what I'm trying to do. So
yeah, it sounds very rewarding.
Yes.
Star in the car.
I guess, kind of shifting a little bit, how many times did you guys apply to for Treefort before you got in?
I'd applied to Treefort 2 times before. Uh-huh. I'm honestly really happy that we didn't get in those times because I feel like with this, it just makes it something that it's a little more special, and there is the really the feeling that we've kind of worked to get here. It just feels really good to be here and to be able to meet all these other artists who are doing the same thing as me and be able to connect and relate and just make new friends. And
So have you been to Treefort before this, or is this your first time?
I have
also?
Not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's my first time here.
Cool.
Just the money thing. I would come every year if I could, but
it's expensive.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very true. So how does it feel playing a big music festival like this? Have you guys ever played anything this big before?
I honestly have not. Probably some of the biggest things that I've done are just the festivals that I've got to play myself or just like opening up for bigger artists. But ultimately, this is, I think, probably the biggest thing that we've done as a band so far. And it's one of those things, it's really nice and it's really validating. For me, just knowing that there's people out there who are caring about the art that we create, it doesn't always feel like that. You're like, oh, like, obviously you have to care about the art that you create, but it always just like, it makes me feel warm when there's other people who are like excited about what we're doing. Just gives me a little more drive, and little more motivation to just keep on doing what I do. So
yeah, it's kind of refreshing being around people who share the same goals and ideas about music that you do.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so going back to Missoula, how would you describe, like, the Missoula music scene right now? Like, I moved out of Missoula in 2014, and I feel like it's changed so much since I've lived there.
Yeah. The Missoula music scene is very... I feel like there's a lot of little cliques of, like, friends and stuff like that. But ultimately, there's, like, a consistent probably, like, 15-20 people who come out to shows that we put on. There's, like, a DIY, like, punk house there called Flavortown. They do a lot of, like, punk and hardcore stuff. And then for the VFW, just kind of started doing stuff again. They went through a bunch of changes in management and stuff. That's really only for people that are 21 plus. And the Zach does stuff, but it's really hard to get people to come to the Zach because people can't drink. But it is all ages. And there have been... I've definitely seen some shows kind of like pop off there. You just really have to give people a reason to go there. Saying that, the Zach is moving to downtown next year, and they're going to have a way nicer like stage, and there's going to be like a little like theater thing, which they're going to have bands in there. So I think that's going to be a really awesome thing for the Community Arts Center. Just being in a place where it's not, and it's not that the Zach is that far out of the way, it's just like under the bridge on the other side of town. And sometimes just people are lazy and like, they're like, oh, I have to walk a block and pay $5 to go see these bands who traveled like 500-600 miles to be here. They're like, why would I do that? And you're just like, I don't know what to tell you. So
do you think it's hard to get people to come to shows just because there's such a wide variety of music available in Missoula? Like,
I don't know. I really don't feel like there is that wide a variety of music to see in Missoula. Like, there's the stuff that we book, and we do our best to, like, make sure, like, ensure that there's, like, a, like, we're booking, like, a diverse amount of artists and stuff. But Missoula is very, well, like, there's different levels of the music scene. There's the DIY scene, and then there's this promotion company called Logjam. They own the biggest venues there, but then they also own like a mid-large venue and then a medium-sized venue. And they kind of have that thing, but they book stuff that makes them money, and they book a lot of like reggae and like bluegrass and stuff like that. Does really well in Missoula. Bands like Primus and Ween and stuff like that always sell out. But I feel like there's a lot of old kind of like hippie folk in Missoula. So psych rock is a genre that is pretty easy to get people to go to shows to. But whenever a band sends me something, I always listen to it. And if I know that there's a few people that would like it, I'll always do my best to help them out and book them to make sure that people have opportunities to see what they want. And Missoula isn't just like this thing that's just psych rock and blue, or like bluegrass and like reggae and stuff like that. When you push yourself out of your comfort zone, it allows for you to grow and like maybe find a different part of you that you didn't have before. Like,
there we go, get in the zone.
Live it all, you might as well. Surrounded by your closest friends, needing time for yourself, wishing I was more content. I'm the grain of salt, plants of many types, so deep and strong my appetite. And from the start, the problems lie in selfish thoughts. Undescribed my life, so many others judge my mind.
Thanks for keeping it tuned to 95.9 FM, Gallatin Valley Community Radio.